You see, there are spiritual barriers, spiritual forces that are contending against your progress. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." You see, it does not say that to a person. It does not classify. It talks about Christians. It talks about people that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. It says, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You know, when I was preparing this message, I was thinking to myself, I wonder whether that's why Jacob decided to wrestle all night. Because when someone appeared to him, he thought, hey, this must be some spiritual force. And that's just me when I was, you know. Maybe that's why he decided to wrestle all night with this spiritual force that, hey, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And listen to me. When it says you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, it means that you are wrestling against personalities without body. Because what is flesh and blood? I am flesh and blood. I have flesh, I have blood. But when it says those that have no flesh and blood, it means that spiritual, it says that against spiritual host of wickedness. It talks about principalities. So, you see, all those four classifications, principalities, powers, world rulers, and spiritual host of wickedness, there are various levels in which they operate. So principalities operate over a city. So if you want to go into ministry over a city, you are contending against principalities in that area. Am I making sense? So you find out that there are some things. You know, as I was thinking about this, I'm preparing the message, I thought to myself that I wish God could open our eyes in the spiritual realm and cause some of us to see the things that are contending against us. Because if you see it, you'll stop playing games. If you see it, you'll start fasting and praying and holding night vigils for the rest of your life. Every night, 24/7. You see, for every prophecy and promise that you have or that you possess, you are likely to come against spiritual forces trying to prevent you from possessing it. Sometimes people think that once they hear God and God gives them a promise, automatically it's going to happen. You need to fight for it. When God told the Israelites that they were going to possess the promised land, they had to fight for it. They did not just go. You see, the Bible says that unless a stronger man comes in and binds a strong man, and we cannot possess the goods. So those spiritual forces already are holding the things, or some of the things that are yours, rightfully yours. Am I making sense? You see, turn with me to the book of Daniel. Let me show you something there. Daniel chapter 10. And we'll read from verse 12. Daniel is where? In the Bible. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Are you there? Let's read verse 12. Time will not permit me to read the whole thing. Okay, let me read from verse 10. It says, suddenly a hand touched me. Just to set the case, Daniel had decided to fast and pray concerning some prophecies that had been given regarding Israel some years ago back. And he decided to start fasting and praying so that the prophecies would come to pass. Now, listen to what this. It says in verse 10, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Verse 12, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But notice this, verse 13. It says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. So notice that he had been praying concerning the vision. But God had answered that prayer from the first day. But some spiritual force was blocking that answer from getting to him. He had been praying, seeking God's face. But from the minute he started, God heard his prayers. But he did not receive the package. You see, I was thinking to myself, I wonder if after day 7, Daniel had given up, would he have gotten the answer to it? I was thinking to myself, and this is me thinking, when I read the Bible, I think, I wonder, I try to imagine various things. I was thinking to myself that I wonder if it was the intensity of Daniel's prayers, or could it have been the consistency of his prayers, or the determination that caused reinforcement to come from heaven? Because it says that Michael, there was reinforcement was sent from heaven to fight against. And what struck me is that he started with the prince of the kingdom of Persia, and then later on he said the kings. So that he started with, hey, the king of prince of the kingdom of Persia, number one, just one initially. But then he said the kings held him. So the blessing, let's assume it was a blessing. The blessing that was meant to go to Daniel was being obstructed by the kings of Persia. Now, notice this. You know, Daniel was praying, but he could not see what was happening in the spiritual. He was praying and saying, God, answer me. God, but God had already answered. But there were some forces contending against the answer to that prayer. You see, for some people, God has already answered your prayers. But there just might be the prince of Persia or a prince of Persia or some princes of Persia that are contending or withstanding the angel that is meant to deliver it to you. You see, you need to contend for your prophecies, for your promises, for your home. You need, when you talk about contend means to fight. There are spiritual forces that contend against you that you cannot see. And until you understand that those are some barriers to your breakthrough. Listen to me. In the book of Zechariah chapter 1, turn there. Zechariah is the last book in the Old Testament. No, not the last book. Last but one, I beg your pardon. Last but one. Malachi is the last book. Zechariah chapter 1. Let me read from verse 16. Are you getting blessed? Are you understanding? Zechariah chapter 1, verse 16. The Bible says, therefore, thus says the Lord, I'm returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts, and a severe line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Again proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my city shall again spread out through prosperity. So God was making prophecies, was giving a promise. And he says, the Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. So normally, let's put a full stop. A lot of us will hear this and there will be a full stop. And we go away and we rejoice. But see what follows. In verse 18, it says, then I raised my eyes, this is Zechariah, and looked, and there were four horns. And he says, and I said to the angel, who talked with me? What are these? So he answered, these are the horns that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen, and I said, what are these coming to do? So he said, these are the horns that scattered Judah so that no one could lift up his head. Notice that. God had given a prophecy concerning those cities. But then there were four horns that could not be seen in the physical realm. And the Bible says that those four horns were trying to suppress the people. It was the four horns were trying to ensure that people could not be elevated. That they could not. What does it mean to lift up your head? To lift up your head means to be elevated. It means to rise. It means to break through a limitation. And it says those four horns were trying to stop them from lifting up their heads even after God had given the promise. But how did Zechariah see it? In the spiritual. You see, you need to understand this. The horns bonds limited the progress of those people. However, the Bible says that four craftsmen were sent to scatter the horns. You see, you need to become the craftsman that scatters every horn that has been sent against you. Now, listen to me. Sometimes you don't have to pray for a horn. That's the thing. You don't even have to, you don't have to pray. You see, the Bible talks about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was just doing something on his own, but some people called Sanballat and Tobiah decided that they did not like what he was doing. So, you need, what does it mean to be a craftsman? A craftsman, when you talk about a craftsman has skill. He's skilled. So it means that you need to be skilled in prayer. Listen to me. Let me give you an illustration. Somebody was telling me recently, told me recently about a single lady that is believing God for a husband. And she's about, I don't know, maybe about 30-something. I don't remember the age. But the age is not so important. But the interesting thing about this story is that this lady, every time she's on the verge of getting married, you know, she would be going out with a certain with a man or something, and they would be on the verge of maybe the man will propose and they'll start planning the wedding. Every time something happens and the man breaks up with her. And this person said it's happened about 4 times. That every time, and that there are two of them in the family, two ladies, that the same other lady too is not yet married. But every time, this is a true story. Now, there is a spiritual force contending against a breakthrough in marriage. And you see, this person needs to deal with the spiritual barrier before she can break through in that area of her life. Because if she doesn't, other men will come to propose, but the same thing will happen. And until she realizes, and sometimes, you see, sometimes people don't realize that. That sometimes they're, you know, if there's a pattern, or it doesn't even have to be a pattern, if there's something or you want to, and there's a spiritual force that needs to be dealt with. Now, I'm not going to bother to try to tell you what that force could be. It could be various things. But it needs to be dealt with. It could be that she has a spiritual husband or she was dedicated when she was young to some spiritual entity. It could be anything. But she needs to deal. Listen to me. In order to break through in life, you need to deal with the spiritual forces contending against you. Now, some of you may not believe, you know, in the Western world, sometimes people, we've become so westernized. And, you know, sometimes we think, oh, there's no... I'm not someone that believes, that ascribes every setback to spiritual things. No. But those things are real. There's something called household wickedness. Have you heard of household wickedness? Let me not go there. The second kind of barrier, is what I call external barriers. Now, like I said, everything, every challenge, every barrier you face in your breakthrough can be classified under any of those. External barriers. What do I mean by that? These are things that are external to the person itself. So when I talk about external barriers, let me use an example. For example, in marriage, we always tell couples, you know, in marriage, there are external forces and internal forces. The external forces against your marriage, they may not be against it, but that influence, let me use the word influence your marriage. Friends, family, in-laws, outlaws. So when I talk about external, it means that the things that are not within. Now, with external things, you need to confront it. And you see, I mean, we always tell couples that with the external forces, you determine whether you want to open the door to that external challenge or you want to shut the door. But sometimes you need to confront it. There are barriers that, I use the word external, or you could say visible or physical, not always. But a lot of times, they do not seem to be spiritually related. However, you'll usually discover that although these barriers do not seem spiritual, there's usually a spiritual force at play behind them. So behind the scene, there's a spiritual force, but it appears in the physical. So the first one is spiritual ones that you know is spiritual, you cannot see it. But some, the external ones, they appear in the physical, and it does not seem that there's any spiritual connotation behind it. But usually, if you dig deeper, a lot of times, there is some spiritual force behind it. Let me use an example. Talk with me to the, in 1 Samuel. Let's read 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Are you getting blessed? 1 Samuel. You know, I was gonna preach on how to get a breakthrough and all that, but it occurred to me that if I share that without talking about the barriers, then, you know, people will just stand there, those barriers will still exist. But we need to understand this so that we can start looking at things from a level of understanding. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 16. The Bible says, we know the story about David and Goliath. You know, the Bible says that the Philistine, that's Goliath, drew near and presented himself 40 days morning and evening. So he was an external force. He was presenting himself before the Israelites and challenging them. Goliath was a barrier to the progress of the Israelites. It says he presented himself. So he came in the physical. He presented himself. He was an external force. He came in the physical realm. He was a barrier before them. And until they conquered Goliath, they could not progress. Because the Bible says that they kept on going there. Why did they have 40 days? I mean, I'm sure the Israelites wanted to go somewhere else or do something else. But as long as Goliath remained, they could not move. As long as Goliath was before them, they could not move on. So Goliath was a barrier to them. He was a barrier before them. And listen to me. You'll find that time will not permit us to, but I'm sure you know this story. You find that when David confronted Goliath, a lot of people might read that scripture and not understand that he first entered into the spiritual before he dealt with them in the physical. In fact, let me show you. In verse 43. Notice that. I said that, you know, external, sometimes they appear in the physical, but there's a spiritual connotation. There's a spiritual force behind it. In verse 43, it says, "So the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods." Why was he doing that? It was a spiritual, so he was cursing him by his gods, going into the spiritual, although it was appearing to him in the physical, but there was a God behind him. And notice what happens. "And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field.' Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied.'" Notice that. He cursed David with his gods. What did David do? He dealt with him in the spiritual before he now dealt with him in the physical. Listen to me. A lot of times when we see things that are external, that is a barrier in our life, a lot of times, a lot of us go running and we just start fighting in the physical. But sometimes we need to just first step back and see, hey, is there a God behind this thing? Is there a force behind this thing? Am I making sense? You see, the Bible says in the book of Joshua, don't bother to turn there, Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible talks about, it says that Jericho was securely shut up, and no one could come in or go out. Now, get this. The city of Jericho was a barrier to the children of Israel entering into the promised land. It was an external barrier so that they could not enter into the promised land until they conquered Jericho. They could not possess that land until they broke through into Jericho. And now you find out that also in this situation, it happened that it was a spiritual solution that God gave them. Because God said, march round and on the, be silent, and on the last day, do the certain things. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, the truth of the matter is that it is not every external barrier that is spiritually related. I need to mention that, so that it's not everything that we attribute to the spiritual. Let me, for example, in order to become a pharmacist in this country, you have to study pharmacy. After you finish studying pharmacy, you do a year's pre-registration and write an exam at the end of that year. All these are external barriers to becoming a pharmacist, but they are not spiritual. But if you decide that you want to start facing in the spiritual and you don't read your books, are you understanding what I'm saying? So you see, sometimes when you're facing certain things that seem physical or that are external to, you need to stop and assess it. Is this something that I need a strategy? Is this something I just need to work out some certain things? Or is this something that I need to first of all deal with in the spiritual before I do the physical? Time will not permit me to give more examples, but let's move to the third one so that we can. The third kind of barrier is what I've called internal barriers. So I spoke about the spiritual barriers. Now I said every challenge, everything you face, every barrier you face in your breakthrough would most likely fall into one of those three areas. It's either spiritual, external, or internal. Now, internal barriers, these are barriers that are within you, within the person trying to break through. And they are the things inside you that are preventing you from having a breakthrough in life or in a certain area. These are sometimes the most difficult barriers to deal with. You know, they always say that the enemy within is the most dangerous. Well, there's a popular whatever, and it's very true. We always say that the person that can prevent you from getting to your destiny is you. You can deal with the spiritual, you can deal with the external ones, but if you've not dealt with you, that's why the first message during the month of breakthrough, we said, has God broken through to you? And you see, a lot of people face internal barriers that messes them up big time. Let me give you some of the internal barriers as an example. An example of an internal barrier is a lot of people face barriers of their pasts. That's an internal one. They allow their past to prevent them from moving forward or from breaking through. They allow their past to determine where they will end up. They allow their past to determine the level or their limitation or the ceiling that they have in life. Let me give you an illustration. For example, if a person that failed in a business venture may find it difficult to start another one because they are scared of failing again. That's allowing the past to prevent them from even breaking through. Or as an example, people that have been heartbroken in the past or that have been abused or let down, maybe by somebody in authority or in whatever respect, that have been let down in the past usually find it difficult to trust again. Now, you find out that if people that have been heartbroken, if that sort of person gets married later, a lot of times they have a challenge developing a deep relationship in their marriage. Because they are protecting their heart and thinking, hey, I don't want to be hurt again. So they allow their pasts to determine their breakthrough. Am I making sense? You see, when you allow your past, when you look at where you're going based on your past, you cannot have a breakthrough. You cannot achieve. You cannot become what God wants you to be. We tend to use an illustration a lot. That if you are driving a car and you keep on looking at your rearview mirror and you are not looking at where you are going, what will happen? You will have an accident. Or if you don't have an accident, maybe by the grace of God, God removes all the cars from the way and all the obstacles. You will end up in the wrong place. That's an internal barrier. Until you can get over your past, you cannot break free in life, in whatever area that is. Be it in the area of business, career, marriage, whatever area. Ministry. Until you can get over your past. I remember years ago, I'll just use Pastor Tumisha as an example. I remember years ago, Pastor Tumisha used to lead the women's ministry in the church where we are. You know, she used to be the head of the women's ministry years ago. But some incidents happened that, you know, some of the ladies, and she stopped leading the ministry. For years, she did not want to have anything to do with ministry and women. That when we started the church, she did not want to hear women ministry. But until she got over the past, she could not start elect ladies that God is now using by his grace. She had to get over the hurt of the past, the disappointment of the past, in order to move on and begin to break through in the area of God where God wanted to use her. Another internal barrier to breakthrough that a lot of people have, and this is still internal barrier, is what I call psychological factors. There are many things under that, but I've just labeled the psychological factors. You've heard of King Saul. King Saul faced this barrier, and you find that it plagued him throughout his life. What do I mean? When Samuel informed Saul that God had chosen him to be king, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21, the Bible says something. Can you put it up, please? The Bible says something that he answered Samuel by saying that, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? How then do you speak to me like that? So that what he was saying is, I don't deserve to be the king. He had a psychological mindset that he did not deserve it. He had a mindset that, hey, I'm not good enough for this position that you're putting me into. He had a mindset of being insignificant because he said, hey, I'm the least, I'm the smallest. Hey, there's other people that are bigger than I am. So he had that mindset that I'm insignificant in the scheme of things. I'm not important. And you see, you find out that issue plagued him for the rest of his life. You see, I personally believe that this mindset may have been one of the contributing factors to his low self-esteem. So that when he was the king, he was threatened by David, who was not even sitting on the throne at that point in time. Why? How can the king be threatened by somebody that wasn't sitting on the throne and start chasing him around? If it wasn't that he had the mindset that, hey, I'm not good enough for this position, God is about to put somebody that will take this position, so let me kill him before he gets there. And a lot of times, a lot of us have this mindset. Listen to me, a lot of people have the mindset of insignificance. They feel small in their own eyes. A lot of us feel that, hey, I'm nothing. Come and handle this, Pastor. I can't do this. How can I speak? We have this mindset. Even when God says, hey, come and do these things, or I've called you to do certain things. Mike. Who, me? Yes, you. Couldn't be. Then who? Number two. You see, it was the psychological factors that caused the Israelites to spend 40 years in the wilderness. Listen to me. The Bible says in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, 33, the Bible says that they felt small in their own eyes, it says that they referred to themselves as grasshoppers. So they felt small in their own eyes. Because the Bible, it says, can we turn it? It says that we were in our own sight. Notice. It says in our own sight. So it was their own sight that caused them to look or feel that they were grasshoppers. A lot of people are seeing themselves as grasshoppers. And when you see yourself as a grasshopper, you cannot break through. That's why when they were at the edge of their breakthrough, they could not enter into it. And you see, you may not understand this, but sometimes some people are on the edge of their breakthrough. But because you still see yourself as a grasshopper, you are scared. You cannot enter into it. Because you think that, hey, I'm a grasshopper. And as long as you see yourself as a grasshopper, you can never become a champion. As long as you see yourself as insignificant, you can never become significant. Am I making sense? Let me give you another example of an internal barrier that a lot of people have. A lot of people have a feeling of inadequacy. So they feel inadequate for the role that they have been called to. And you see, when you have a feeling of, sometimes a feeling of inadequacy is good because it helps you to depend on God. But when you allow it to stop you, Gideon had a feeling of inadequacy when God called him. But in spite or despite the feeling of inadequacy, he kept on going. I mean, like I could continue with quite a number of internal factors. There are so many. So many. And until you deal with the internal factors, no matter how much you deal with the spiritual ones, no matter how much God opens the door for you, no matter how many opportunities are in front of you, no matter how much you deal with the external ones and you confront it, if you do not confront the internal factors, get this, you'll find it difficult to break free in life. You will find it difficult to break free in life. When you feel you are not good enough, you will not reach your potential. When you always feel that others are better than you are, you will never enter into your destiny. You will trade your position for somebody else. I'm talking about barriers to breakthrough. And these are real barriers that we all face. I wish I could continue, but time will not permit me. But this morning, I just want us to rise up. And we're just going to begin to pray.